Well, good morning, everybody. God bless all of you. Sure is a great blessing to look on your faces, as always. The great bond that I've built up with, with so many of you, your wonderful faces, is all because of the Word of God. And it's a great privilege to stand up here, and I'm real thankful to God and to Tom and Kathy to let me come up and even speak the Word in their trust. So, pretty exciting word we have, isn't it? And we were singing that song, and one of the lines in the song was, there are times when the world is uncertain. And I would say that's probably all the time. And, you know, it's funny because so many times when you first, you know, a lot of you have been in the Word for a while. A lot of you have been around the things of God for a while. But do you remember the first time somebody held up a newspaper to you and said, is this godly? You know, look what we live in, people. Look what we live in. This is the world. And I just got the paper this morning, you know, and it's like, gunmen kill six in Saudi attack. Highway litter bugs leaving costly tab. You know, reservist in charge sickened. I mean, these things are negative. These things are evil. This is what, we live in a world that belongs to the adversary. He is the god of this world. And for anybody to go through a day and not remember those things, that we do live in a world that's run by an evil source, is a day wasted. Is a day not knowing that you're walking in a minefield full of mines. And the only way to know where those mines are is by knowing your Heavenly Father and knowing His Word and having that Word dwell in your heart to the point that you can see where evil is and where it's coming from and how it's attacking, and how it's being directed. Wouldn't you want to know that stuff? Wouldn't you want to know? Isn't it great to know that stuff? Well, it says in 2 Corinthians 4, you don't have to turn there, that the devil, he is the god of this world. And it says in Ephesians, it talks about how that it's an evil world. It's his spirit. It's a spiritual thing. He runs everything spiritually in an evil way. In Peter, it says that the adversary walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. These things are real. The Bible is true. And if these things are written there, it's true. The devil does walk about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But we have a great and mighty opportunity, once we have the Spirit of God, to rise above that and see beyond the senses and see spiritually what's happening. But that's not really what I'm going to be talking about this morning, but it's going to make sense later on. So turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to go to a lot of scriptures today, so be prepared to flip. Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 12. You know, in my simple mind, this is the way I think of it. The world and us, okay? And the reason it's us is because we're born again. Anyone born again with the Spirit of God in them, that's us. This is the world without Spirit. This is us. The Bible's written to us, okay? And it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, that's who we are, that's us, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So above all those things, above kindness, above humbleness of mind, above forgiving each other, put on charity, put on love, put on love. You know, a bond, it says it's the bond of perfectness. Love is the bond of perfectness. And what is a bond? A bond is something that holds us together. It's our link of connection. It's the cement that holds us together. That's what love is. You know, love, and it not only says that, but it says this love is complete. It's perfect. This love that will bind you together is perfect. Jesus Christ, we're going to go back to Matthew. Jesus Christ said some startling things about love that were never said before. A lot of things that startled his world back then, and believe it or not, they startle me sometimes when I read them. And I'm blessed by reading them. See, when you're short, wherever you go, you're going to hit that thing. So, Matthew chapter 5. This is Jesus Christ speaking. Did I say Matthew or John? I said Matthew. And in chapter 5. And in verse 43. This is Jesus Christ speaking. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Well, we all hear that every day, don't we? I mean, that's not unusual. I mean, we hate a lot of people nowadays in America, don't we? They hate us. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? Don't they? Yeah, the world does that. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The bond of perfectness. Look in Matthew chapter 22. That was pretty, you know, that's a startling thing today, isn't it? Love your enemies. Do good to people. Pray for them. I do that every day in the car when I'm driving on the freeway. That's my goal. No, I can do that. Matthew 22, verse 35. Jesus Christ was in the temple, and these guys were tempting him, and they were asking him these questions. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. John 13. That's a pretty bold statement there. If you love God, you love your neighbor. That takes care of the whole Old Testament. So that on all those things hang the law. John 13. Some more startling things that Jesus Christ said. And he even says it's new. Verse 34, chapter 13. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, you all know a little bit about the children of Israel, and they were from different tribes. And a lot of these disciples of Jesus Christ were from different tribes. And he's telling them to love each other. They'd never been told that before. They were never told to love each other. And he's telling them, you guys love each other as I have loved you. And you know what? People are going to know you're with me because you love each other. Isn't that cool? Look in John 14. Isn't it a great thing if somebody goes, are you a Christian? And why do they ask you that? Maybe it's because of the love that you walk in. Isn't that cool? Jesus Christ knew that. Because people are going to know you belong to me because you walk in love. Wow. John 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Let's move on to the epistles, to Romans chapter 12. Now these epistles are things written directly to us, how we're to operate best in this body of Christ. Romans chapter 12. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Don't let your love be an act. If it's not an act, then what is it? It's real, isn't it? And if it's real love, if your love is without an act, if it's without hypocrisy, is there snide remarks? Are there snide remarks involved with real love? Or turning around and going, I mean, is there? Is that real love? Do we do it? Yeah, we do. Do we want to? No. We want to walk in love. We want to walk with the love that Jesus Christ said. Look in Romans 13. Verse 8. It says, Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Kind of sounds like what Jesus Christ said, doesn't it? Do you teens remember that at teen camp last year? What do I owe you? What do I owe you? Love. That's all I owe you. And then verse 9. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. 1 Corinthians 8. So far, we've seen that love isn't an act. Love doesn't work ill to each other. We owe each other to love each other. Now we're going to see how charity, the love of God, edifies. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now it's touching things offered unto idols. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if any man think that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. A lot like that, people will know you're my disciples by your love. If you love God, the same is known of you. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Ephesians 5, next chapter, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We're to walk in love. It tells us, be followers of God who is love. Pretty simple stuff. It also says in Philippians that our love for each other in Thessalonians abounds. It can abound. It also says that God could direct our hearts into his love. Pretty cool stuff. 1 Peter. Skip to 1 Peter. Chapter 1. Told you we were going to flip. All right. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. That's us. And in chapter 4 of Peter, verse 8. You know, isn't it great when we look into all these verses and when you look into the Word of God, it's a great critic of the heart. It says in Hebrews that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it divides asunder the soul and spirit and is a critic of your thoughts and your intents. You want to check your motives? You know, we talk about motives all the time in this fellowship because they're important. And the way to keep those motives in check is one way, and that's by the Word of God. So if you're kind of confused about the whole motive idea that you hear about, go to the Word. That's where you're going to check up on your motives. There's that old saying, take a checkup from the neck up. You know how you do that? Right here. Is this dwelling in your heart and in your life? Is this swimming around in your brain every day? Is this something that you endeavor to go to every day to find answers? Not even only to find answers, but to just know your Heavenly Father, to have a great relationship with Him. You know, I love reading Scripture. I am not a Greek expert. I tried to be. It didn't work. Yeah, I understand a little. But, you know, I love just reading the Word. Do you love going to the Word every day and get to know your God and Father? He wants you to. He wants you to. You know, a lot of times I hear people doing scripture or word studies, and I do them sometimes and stuff, but I got to tell you, my greatest joy comes from just reading, just spending time reading the Bible day to day and being faithful at it, being faithful. Because, you know, you can go a couple of months without reading in a couple of days, and it hurts you. It hurts you. Yeah, it hurts God a little bit, too. He still loves you. He's still all grace all the time. But it hurts you. You start getting into this stuff. You know, you want to be religious? I'll tell you how to be religious. Go a while without reading the Word, without praying, with getting into the world every day. Take 3 months. Do this every day. I'm serious. This is true, because I've done it. I'm sure everybody in here has. And if you haven't, God bless you. I want to hang out with you. And just read this, get to the world, just go to work every day and make that your life. And then all of a sudden, you're just going to fellowship. Oh, we got fellowship. Yeah, yeah. And after 3 months, you're religious. You're just doing routine. You're just going to fellowship. You're not living it. You know, I asked somebody once, I said, how do you get people to live the Word? I mean, how do you, you know, you go to fellowship once a week, twice a week. But here's my day. I get up, I go to work, I come home, I eat dinner, I go to bed. Next day, get up, go to work, eat dinner, go to bed. How does that change in people's life? How do you get your fellowship to change? Or how do you get yourself to change? By this living in your heart and life. That's how it changes. So what if you're not a fellowship leader? So what if you're not? You have absolutely no, you know, responsibility, okay, in this body that we have here. Is that God's outline? You know, His outline is for this to live and dwell in your heart every single day. And you know where you're going to be? Exactly where you need to be. You know what you're going to be doing? Exactly what you need to be doing. And you know what? If that's praying for somebody, you're doing exactly what you need to do. It's no more question about, well, what am I supposed to do in the body? There's no question. Because you've got this. You've got your relationship straight with your Heavenly Father, and you know where you're supposed to be. You want to know? Know this. Well, okay. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Whew, that's a big one. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. This section of Scripture about the love of God is used so much as a checklist. 1 Corinthians 13, and yet almost everything in chapter 13 is in every other epistle written to us. It's what we put in picture frames. You know, it's what we read at weddings. Well, we don't maybe, but a lot of people do. So much is talked and about and sung about the love of God, but how much of what we just read, how it not being an act, how it edifies, how we forbear each other in love, how much of that is actually conveyed in the world that we live in. It's an evil world. It doesn't walk by those standards. We have a standard to walk by, and that's the love of God, what we just read about. Many acts of men are called love. Many, many acts of God are called love. But yet, how far from the truth? How far from the truth they really are? It's usually self-serving or giving for their own glory. The reason so little is actually known about the real love of God is because so few go to the Word of God to find out what it's all about. This Word of God, which is authored by the originator of love, that's how we find out what love is all about. That's how we live it. Okay, we're going to read chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And here's what love is. Love suffers long. It's got a long fuse. Do you have a long fuse? Now, this is a checklist for most people. And I'm going to explain a little bit more about that in a little bit. But it's a checklist for your heart. You know, make it for your heart, not for, let's see. She doesn't have a long fuse. That's not whatever it was intended to be for me to judge all of you. You know, that's not what this is. This is for you so that you can look within your heart. And how do I change this? By putting more of the Word of God in my life. So, charity has a long fuse and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunts not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. You know, the great thing about this stuff in this chapter is that when I've made the Word living and real in my mind, and when I've engrafted that Word into my life, I'm not puffed up. Are you, Nina? You don't vaunt yourself. You're not seeking your own glory. You're not seeking your own. You know, all of a sudden my life turns from one of trying to see how I can get ahead or have more friends than somebody else or be more popular in school or, you know, be the best at anything I do. And it, all of a sudden that changes. It's not so, all of a sudden I'm not seeking my own happiness anymore. You know, that's not the goal in my life. I'm not deciding what God needs to do to make me happy. And that did wrap up a lot of my time for a long time. Well, if I can go out more, I'd be more happy. Or if I had this, if I had more money, if I went on more vacations. You know, God wants what I want, so I'm going to pray for that. You know, all of a sudden when that word's engrafted in your heart, it goes to, I want what God wants, and that makes me happy. Changes automatically. It's like nothing that you have to work at. It's just by putting this in your heart. Can you see now how those things that we read about when they're lived and practiced is a tie that unites us, that bonds us in perfectness? Do you understand now that when Jesus said that men will know we are his disciples by the love that we have one to another? And I'm going to end up in some scriptures that, to me, just are an example of a bond of love, a bond that, because of the word that was shared between all these people, it formed a bond and a great love, and it's just all written right here, and it's such a blessing to read, and we're going to go to Acts 17 when Paul went to Thessalonica, and then we're going to go to the book of Thessalonians and see that bond. It's just like, if you can't see it, I mean, I know you can. It's just something else. And this is the bond that we should desire to have with each other. Because of the word that we're living together and growing together with, this is our bond. You know? This is how we should care for each other. You know, it's not a social gathering. It's not a club. It's not a just hang out with believers type of a thing. It's a bond that we form because of the word that we share with each other. Look in Acts 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scripture. This sets up our time period. So for about 3 weeks, Paul was in Thessalonica, reasoning with them, teaching them the word, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. That's what he was all about, speaking the word, speaking of Jesus Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. 3 weeks, a bunch of people believed. Jews got mad that we're living in the city. We go, how are we going to get rid of this guy? Verse 6, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the cities. Now, if I'm right, these are pretty new believers. 3 weeks, these are pretty new guys. And they're being assaulted already. They drew Jason out of the house and his brethren. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. And that's Paul and a couple of guys in Thessalonica. Spoke the word, a bunch of them believed, and they got persecuted. And let's go to 1 Thessalonians. I think the reason I wanted to share this particular scripture is we've had a lot of time together, all of us have. You know, and this bond is so beautiful here between Paul and the Thessalonians, and that's our bond. You know, that's us. That's how we feel about each other. Chapter 1 in 1 Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. He was committed to pray for them always. You know, for 3 weeks. Less than 3 weeks. Look in chapter 2. Verse 1, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation in our was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which tries our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering your words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You are our witnesses. You are witnesses, and God also. How holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believed. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. You can see by these records that it wasn't a club or a group that Paul belonged to, or a nice little social gathering there in Thessalonica to see if they can get some more people to believe or build the family. You know, this was a bond of love. This stuff is written because of a bond of love that was built between them, because Christ was taught, because the Word lived. The Word of God was living and real among Paul and the Thessalonians. You know, I ask you, in your heart, is that the bond you have with your brothers and sisters because of the Word of God? Are you seeking your own when you want to gather together with believers? Or is it to build the Word in your heart or as a family? It wasn't because of a similar background. You know, I play tennis, you play tennis, let's get together sometime. You know, is the Word the primary reason we do anything in our lives? You know, this is a bond we desire to have with each other, a bond of love because we live the Word together. So, thank you very much for letting me share this morning.
Before we sing our last song, if there are any of you, registration for family camp is now closed, but if there are any of you who forgot that yesterday was the deadline, Kathy's going to be in the back right after the meeting and you can speak to her. Okay? Let's turn to number 19. God gave us His word.